tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
Mighty to save forever. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to the Hope Show today. And I don't know if you were tuned in last week or not, but last week I gave a little challenge right after the Valentine weekend there to go out and tell somebody that you love and appreciate them. And so I hope that you've all had a great week, and I hope you've done that. I hope you've gone out to somebody that you love and you appreciate, and that you've told them that this week. You never underestimate what the power of positive words and love spoken and demonstrated through your actions can have on someone's day. Let us be lights of hope wherever we go, every day, in words, in actions, in testimony, in our witness to all the people that we meet. Be that lighthouse for somebody that's in a dark place right now. And may our light be evident and be a beacon for someone who could really use our help right now. Let's be sensitive to those around us, you know, and just try not to think so much about what's going on in our own world right now, but try to put yourself in someone else's shoes, you know. If you're passing by somebody and they look a little gloomy or down and out, you know, give them a smile, you know, say hello, do something. This brings me to what this Saturday's message is about today. And today's message is about when all hope is gone. I'm sure all of us at one time or another has felt completely and utterly without hope. I hope that you did not set up camp there, but if that's exactly the position that you find yourself in today, then I hope today's message will touch your heart in a very special way. Before we get started, I'd like to open us up in prayer today. So at this time, if you'd like to pray with me, let us all bow our heads together. Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving for bringing all of us together here on the Hope Show. Father, soften our hearts and our ears to today's message, to what we are about to hear. Reveal yourself to us. There is so much adversity in our lives here on earth. And as you said that there would be, you didn't promise that we would have an easy life. But still, Father, we can praise your holy name and offer up much thanksgiving because, Father, you have promised to be with us when trials and tribulations and persecution threaten to overwhelm us and we sometimes feel that we can't go on. We remember the poem, Footprints, when someone asked, Father, why did you leave me alone when I needed you the most? And you, our Father most on high, said, For when you seen one set of footprints, child, I did not leave you. That is when I carried you. Father, help us to remember that you are our comfort, our rock, our healer, our hiding place. You will protect us from all trouble and surround us with songs of deliverance. Father, when things about our lives seem dismal, help us to walk in your light, knowing that this too shall pass. Help us to live our lives in faith and glory. May each of your children listening today expect to have hope rekindled. Expect our prayers to be answered in wondrous ways. Father, help us to remember seasons come and go, and that this is just a dry season in life, that it will not last. The spring rains and the summer sun will come again. Father, help us as we stand at the beginning of each new day. Bless us with visions of the best that is yet to come. The wisdom to make good choices, and most of all, faith that you are walking with us every step of the way. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen, folks. Thank you, everyone who prayed along with me. And now let us get started on today's message. I hope every one of you out there will be filled with joy and peace in your heart, and that your heart will overflow with hope for your future after today's message. You know, as children bring their broken toys with faith and tears for us to mend as parents, we also should bring the broken pieces of our lives to God, because He is our Father and our friend. So many of us do give our broken pieces to God, but just to hang on and hang around, and then become impatient with our Father for not fixing things fast enough. We get angry, and we get upset, and we snatch the broken pieces of our lives back out of our Father's hand. And perhaps we cry out to Him, "How can you be so slow, Father? I need this fixed now." But our Father turns to us and says, "Child, how could I fix the broken pieces you gave me when you never let go of them for me to fix?" How many of you can relate to giving your anxieties and your cares and your burdens over to your Father, but then snatch them back from Him when we don't receive fast results? We become impatient. This world is so used to instant gratification. We want our problems to be solved quickly, and we don't want to have to wait for God's perfect timing. Some of you have given up on hope and faith because you think God has given up on you. Do you remember me mentioning the prayer bowls at God's feet a few weeks back? If you've forgotten, or perhaps you were too busy and you weren't able to listen to that message that day, let me remind you again. I am currently studying the book of Revelation in a woman's Bible study at my own church. And the speaker of the lesson was talking about this very thing. And it just really spoke to me. It resonated to me because I guess I just needed to hear that day. Maybe my hope was a little lacking that day. I don't know. But anyway, she was talking about this very thing, along with many other things. But this one particular thing really spoke to me in that day, and it has been in my brain ever since. It has certainly given me lots of hope and a different perspective on things. Sometimes a person can feel as if they are praying and they're praying and they're praying for a solution to one of their problems, and you think, "God, are you hearing me? Hello? Am I talking to myself? Does the fact that I haven't heard from you mean that the answer to my question is no?" We get discouraged. Our hope and our faith falter. But I hope that what I'm about to say to you will help you as much as it did me. God hears our every prayer, folks. God does not ignore us. Every prayer sent up to heaven is collected in a bowl, if you will entertain the idea. I get a visual of perhaps a cereal bowl or something bigger, like a huge salad bowl. But that's just me. And I visualize it being at the throne of our Heavenly Father. I liken it to the example of when you go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and they ask you to take a number and wait for your number to be called. And when your number is called, then you'll be helped by the next available representative. How many of you have heard that one a few times? Well, God is our only representative. Now think about all the number of human beings that live here on this planet Earth. When your prayers are received by God, they are held in His bowl for the precise, perfect timing for your specific prayer to be answered. Some prayers are answered relatively quickly, while others you may have to wait on to be answered for a little bit longer. And yet other prayers may take months and even years to be answered. And some of your prayers, the result, what you're asking for, just isn't good for you. And so God may say no at some points. But do not think for a moment that God has not heard your prayer, or that He is ignoring you. If your prayer is in accordance to the will of God, and it is good for you, and you are in obedience to God's commands, hold up, folks. Just wait. Your prayers will be answered when the time is right, and not a moment before. We must not lose hope or faith or allow ourselves to become too discouraged. No matter where we are at, folks, no matter what is going on in our lives, there is always hope. And you can choose that no matter what is going on in your own personal life, you can also be hope to someone else. Fellow brothers and sisters, I want to bow our head in prayer once again for the planting seeds of hope. Lord Jesus, no matter what is going on in my life today, please make me a planter of seeds of hope. Where there is discord, let me sow compassion. Where there is loneliness, help me sow companionship. Where there is anxiety, fear, and discouragement, let me sow comfort. May the seeds I plant with your guidance and grace grow to be a sheltering tree, one providing the hope that comes from following you, Father. And once again, all the people said, Amen. Amen. Are you feeling it, folks? Are you feeling the presence of God this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Even if we're lacking in hope, there's still hope. There's always someone around that corner that has it far worse than you do. Far worse. And you can choose to be down in the dumps, stay in the dark, or you can choose to give it to God and hang on to that hope and that faith. Thank you for taking that moment to say a prayer with me, everyone. Someone specific needs these prayers today. Someone is feeling hopeless, anxious, and discouraged today. Let's help build our fellow brothers and sisters up in Christ. Encourage them to keep going. Because the alternative is grim. Sometimes we're so discouraged that we don't even know how to pray for ourselves. Have you ever been there? You know what that feels like. But God tells us in the Bible that it's okay sometimes to not know what to pray for. Because in Romans 8:26, in the same way that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. How many of you have just been so down and out? Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're fixing to lose your house or your family. Maybe your health is poor. Maybe you're frightened. Maybe you just don't know. You just don't know anymore. And you go to pray, and the words just won't come. You're just so upset that you don't even know what to pray for. And sometimes all you can do is just sit there or lay there and say, God, oh God, please. God, please help me. And that's okay. Because the Holy Spirit is right there beside you. And it intercedes for us through wordless groans. Praise God. Matthew Henry's commentary says it the best. Though the infirmities of Christians are many and great, so that they would be overwhelmed if left to themselves, yet the Holy Spirit supports them. The Spirit, as an enlightening Spirit, teaches us what to pray for as a sanctifying Spirit, works and stirs up praying graces as a comforting Spirit, silences our fears, and helps us to overcome all discouragements. The Holy Spirit is the spring of all of our desires toward God. which are often more than words can utter. The Spirit, who searches the heart, can perceive the mind and will of the Spirit, the renewed mind, and advocates his cause. The Spirit makes intercession to God, and the enemy prevails not. I don't know about any of you guys out there listening today, but that gives me great comfort. Knowing that even when I don't have all the right words, God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, knows my heart. And the Spirit makes intercession to God for me. And you, and you, and you, and you. Wherever you're at in this world today, listening in, I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. Isn't that just mind-blowing? Absolutely amazing. We get so involved in our pleasures and our problems, our inadequacies, or in our service to Him, our Lord and Savior, that we often overlook the most obvious thing. When you were young, didn't you go to your parents for advice or help? Didn't you hold their hand sometimes when you were really young? I mean, I'm talking about when you're really young. Not necessarily when you started school or advanced up in elementary years and beyond, but the time in your life at like 5 and under when it was still cool to hold your mom or your dad's hand before you got too big for all that. I'm talking about when you were like 5 years of age and under, before life got really complicated. If you had a wonderful childhood, I'm sure you can think of one of your parents and how they would take your hand and guide you and protect you. That's what I'm talking about, folks. As we get older, we don't stop having problems. Our problems just get bigger. Can anybody relate to that? But we always have a Heavenly Father that is on our side. He has our back in every situation, and even during the circumstances we find ourselves in, He is already at work to find us a way out of our difficulties for our greater good. Fellow brothers and sisters, look up. Look up to the heavens. As we are involved in all of these things of the world, our pleasures, our problems, our fears and anxieties, our seemingly hopeless situations, our inadequacies, all you have to do, folks, is look up. Look up to your Heavenly Father for His guidance and His advice. Reach out and take your daddy's hand in heaven and seek out His guidance and His advice. Brothers and sisters, you're going to be okay. God will put back together the broken pieces of your lives. If you seek God and ask Him, pray over your situation, have faith, and hold on to your hope. Hold out your hand, folks. Right now, wherever you're sitting right now, hold out your hand, not your fist, fingers wide open, straight out to God. Hold out your hand and say, Father, help me. Father, take my hand. Daddy, help me. And I assure you, He will take hold. He will comfort and protect, love and guide you. Do you remember the story about the faith of a mustard seed? In Matthew 17:20, the Bible tells us, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed," and folks, that's pretty tiny, "you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." In this verse, the emphasis is on healing, isn't on healing, but on the ability to move the mountain. The mountain they refer to as anything that you could be overwhelming you, or daunting and discouraging and hopelessness. making you fearful, to cause you to be anxious, something that is seemingly impossible to you. The mountain represents those things that only God can overcome. The mustard seed, although very tiny, is real and tangible. The point of the comparison is that faith must be more than a concept in your mind. It must produce results in your life. Something real that you attribute to God's compassion for you. Think about this for a moment, folks. Let's use a common everyday chair for an example. Saying that you trust the chair to support you is nothing more than words until that faith is exercised. It's when you actually sit and rest in that chair that faith is realized. That is how faith and hope is proved out. It's only after experiencing the sitting and the resting that you can know that that chair is trustworthy. And as we journey through our lives, we can see faith do the same thing that seeds do. They grow into something much bigger than what they started out like. Your faith, your hope, your trust in God will also grow as you believe in things unseen. You will be amazed by what God does for you. Does that mean that if you trust and have hope and faith in God to change something or to take away the bad and bring on the good, that it will happen? No, moving the mountain is about taking away the fearful thoughts so that the circumstances are no longer something to dread. Circumstances will no longer control your life because you will trust God to do what is good for you and for those around you. And this looks like a really good place to take a break, folks, and play you a few songs and allow you to stretch your legs a little bit and maybe refill your cup, whatever you're drinking out of this morning. And so this first song is going to be from Jason Castro, and it's going to be Only a Mountain.
Another day, another fight. It always feels like an uphill climb. Another step, another mile. The story of your life. It's harder than you ever thought, and it costs you everything you got. When you're back against the wall, you feel like giving up. This is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Second wind, it's not as high as you think it is. Don't give up, don't you quit. You gotta climb if you wanna win, yeah. And I know it looks big, and I know you feel small. But just a little bit of faith can change it all, change it all. This is only a mountain.
takes to climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. Of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
The stone crushes the right size to put the giant on the ground.
And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth. And I will listen to you.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed the songs that I played over the break, and thank you for joining me here today on The Hope Show. If you are just tuning in, today's message is When All Hope Is Gone. We have covered a lot of subject material about hope today, and I hope you found today's message uplifting and encouraging so far. But wait, there's more. The last thing we spoke about was facing your giants, so to speak, or those problems and issues that seem impossible for you to overcome. Things may seem dismal at times, folks, but there is always, always a ray of hope. Someone is always worse off than you. Someone has always gone through similar situations and know how you feel. Perhaps you know of someone who has shared some words of wisdom with you at just the right time and helped you through some troubling times. I believe that no matter what your personal situation is, you can always find something deep inside yourself to pull out and give to someone else that will provide them with some hope too. We must all hold on to hope. If we don't have any hope, then folks, what do we have? Hope is wanting something to happen, thinking it could happen, expecting something good to happen, expecting and hoping someone or something may be able to provide that help for you. Hope is expecting with confidence. Can I hear that again? Hope is expecting with confidence. Hope is believing in something unknown. Hope is an optimistic attitude of mind based on an expectation of positive outcomes related to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. But what about people whose hope is gone? People who feel hopeless also feel anguished, dejected, desperate, discouraged, gloomy, miserable, full of despair. These folks don't expect anything hopeful. They can't even think of or visualize their situation improving or changing. Isn't that sad? But there's many people out there in this world today who don't have hope, or their hope is waning. They just feel stuck. There's a dark cloud that just hangs over their head, day in and day out. For some people, feelings of hopelessness can be crippling. They sit around in agony of hopeless grief. Sometimes a person cries and cries until the tear wells are just dried up, and there's nothing more to cry with. Sometimes when a person gets this low in life, they find it hard to function in their daily lives. They are unable to learn or act, perform, or work as desired. They feel inadequate, and as if they are living in a tunnel of darkness. Can you feel it, brothers and sisters? Can you visualize what those folks must feel like when their hope is not there, or it's leaving? The world appears to be moving in slow motion. It's almost like having an out-of-body experience. You see the people all around you. You hear the laughter as if it's in a distance. People seem to be passing you by as if you aren't even there. Inside your head, you're crying out for someone, anyone, to recognize you're in trouble, that you need help. But everyone is busy, and nobody notices. You feel even more alone than you did before. You see all the people functioning and going about their daily lives in fast-forward motion. And yet, it's like looking inside a glass ball. You see it, but you're not really a part of it. You feel completely disconnected and unplugged. Does it sound like I know a lot about this? It's because I do. And if you're the one at the other end listening to what I'm having to say, and listening to me, and you can relate to exactly what I just said, I feel for you, brother or sister. I do. And I love you so much. And I hope that something that I say or do today will come through these airwaves into your heart, and that I can touch you for just a moment. And you can know that there is one person in this world, me, beside your Heavenly Father, that knows exactly what you're going through. I know the pain you feel. I know the hopelessness that you feel. I know what it feels like to feel disconnected and unplugged from a busy world that's going on around you that just won't seem to slow down. I know what it feels like to be on the outside looking in, and you desperately want to be them other people, laughing and having fun and going on about your life and all those good things. But you're so far down in the pit, you can't reach them. I know that feeling, folks. I've been there before, on several occasions, actually. And praise God that God sent me a few sisters out there that held on to me for dear life and held my hand and would not let me just sink into the abyss. I'm here right now for you. Take out your hand. Take out both hands. Hold out one to God and hold out one to me. We love you. There is hope. There is hope. As I said earlier, this is only a dry season, folks. When we think about time, our time is different than God's time. Our time may seem to stretch out forever, especially when we're feeling like this. Time seems to stand still. And you think you're never going to find your way out. But God's time. Our day is a blink of an eye for Him. It's just a season, folks, and it cannot last forever. Storms don't last forever. Think back into a time in your past when something else was happening in your life, and maybe things looked hopeless then as well. Or maybe you didn't know how whatever was happening was going to turn out for the good. But it did. And it will again. If you look back in your past at all things that have happened in your life, it hasn't lasted forever, now has it? No. Because God sees you through the storm. This is only a season in time. And whenever I think, whenever I get into a situation like that, or a lull in my life when things just don't seem to be working out too good at the moment, I think of the passage in the Bible that says, "And this too shall pass." And it does, folks. It does. You just have to wait it out. Because in God's perfect timing, He will turn whatever is going on in your life right now around for your good. And so I hope and I pray for each one of you out there who may be in this position today, I pray that you would just hold on. Hold on. Help is on the way. I have been there myself. I do know how you feel. And I can tell any of you that have not experienced anything on such a level that it is way beyond agonizing and miserable when you're in the middle of feeling that way. Way beyond any feeling you could imagine. It becomes your own private and personal kind of hell. when you're going through it yourself. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all catch a glimpse of ourselves through God's eyes? I found an article that Jeffrey Markins wrote, and I want to share that with you right now. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's pretty lengthy, and I don't have time to do so without cutting other things out of my show today. But long story shortened, Jeffrey Markins and his wife has been in the hospital. His wife giving birth to a son. Several days after the birth of their son came the day that the child would be circumcised. Before this day, the days leading up to this event, Jeffrey Markins felt that he was mentally prepared and he wanted to witness this procedure being done on his son. He felt God comforting him as Jeffrey and the doctor spoke about the circumcision stories from the Bible. The doctors and staff explained what was going on and why they were performing each stage and how to care for their son after the procedure was done. The deed was finally done. And as he looked on, Jeffrey realized two things. First of all, it was definitely the most painful, heartfelt cry his son had ever produced. That's tough in itself, listening to the one that you love suffer. But the second thing Jeffrey realized was, it was the first time that he had ever seen tears in his little son's eyes. He was really crying. His 7-day-old son was shrieking in pain. His little body locked up and tears flowing down the sides of his face. There was nothing Jeffrey could do about it, and that was the worst part. His son needed him, and he couldn't intervene or rescue his son. This procedure needed to be done. Jeffrey just had to stand there and watch his firstborn son suffer at the hands of strangers. As tears began to well up in his own eyes, he asked himself, "Why did I want to be here for this? Why?" And this is when he heard God's voice speak to him. In an instant, the Holy Spirit ministered to Jeffrey and conveyed this message. "Jeffrey, you now have some vague understanding of what I went through," meaning God, "when strangers beat my son senseless, when he hung on that cross to pay the price of all mankind's sin. The fact that I sacrificed my only begotten son, it had to be done for all of mankind to be reconciled back to me. I had to watch my son suffer in ways that you will never have to." And what God said next nearly dropped Jeffrey to his knees. "I know how much you love your son and how his tears hurt you, but you can't comprehend how much I love mine. And I endured his tears and suffering on the cross for you." It was then that Jeffrey knew the desire God had put on his heart was no accident. It was put there so that he might receive the blessing of God's revelation. The time passes faster than any of us can keep up with. And God falls in love with us, his children, more and more every day, just as we fall in love with our own children more and more every day. And now it occurs to me that sometimes we don't even think of our children as babies anymore. We think of our children as little people. We think of them as someone we love. When we look at our children at some point, we stop looking at them in the context of their age. And we see our children standing in our family, and we see their very spirit. Our children have the same draw upon us as our closest friends, our family members, even our spouses. We have to stand back sometimes and realize that our child is totally and completely unable to relate to a single thing that happens in our lives until one day they become a parent themselves. Sometimes we can ask for advice and confide in our children, but they don't really, really understand until they become a parent themselves. But still, with everything that is in us, we love our children so much that we would literally die for them. Our love grows and changes, but we don't love our children any less or any more. Our love for our children is 100% unconditional agape love, the kind of love that God has for us. And it's 100% of what we have to give our children. Jeffrey saw how God had used the birth of his son, used this to parallel his love for Jeffrey. God was saying, I love you. I love you even when you're a baby and immature. You can't even relate to me. I can't confide in you. You're totally incapable of understanding a single thing at my level. Because remember, God is powerful. He is God Almighty. But when I look at you, I don't see a baby. I see a family member. No matter how spiritually immature you are, you're a part of my family, and I already died for you. God loved us so much that he sacrificed his only begotten son to die on the cross in a miserable, brutal death so that Jesus could be the bridge that would bring us all back to God. He raised his son 3 days later to sit beside him in heaven. Could any of you out there in the listening audience, could any of you love your children so much even to sacrifice them for a greater good? I don't know. I don't know if I could, because I know how much I love my little Kara. I don't know. But think about that. Could any of you in the listening audience love your children enough that you would sacrifice them for a greater good, for a greater cause? Folks, it's a tough one. If you're feeling without hope today, this should give you great comfort that God loved you and cares enough about every detail of your life to send his only begotten son to pay our sin debt on that cross. There is hope. Always. Hope is the expectation of good things to come. We are intended to have goals and dreams and aspirations. I'm running short on time. You know, I've still got a lot of ground to cover, and I'm going to have Shaziz come join me here in a moment. But I want you to look up John 4, 1 through 15. This is the passage about Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman. What does hopelessness look like or feel like? And we talked about that earlier. Where are you at in your life right now? Hopelessness can feel like you're in a swamp or perhaps in a place of quicksand. You're in the murk and the mire, the sludge, the filth of the world. You find yourself being drawn in and you can't seem to catch your footing. You're alone and there seems to be nothing to grasp onto, to pull yourself out with. You feel there is no hope, but more of the same, a downward spiraling motion. You're losing yourself. Perhaps you don't think anybody cares about you, that you will never get anywhere in this life. Many people cross borders of sin when they feel in hopeless situations. Sometimes you might even find yourself stealing or lying, cheating, bartering, you name it. Where are you right now? Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that question. Where are you right now? In John 4, 15 and 16, the Bible tells us, If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. For John 4:14, the Bible says, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water welling up in eternal life." People without hope will criticize and condemn. They are dismal in spirit, rejected, beaten down, trodden upon. Perhaps they feel as if they deserve where they are and what is happening to them, but they are wrong. But until they know and start living from the living water of life, they won't be filled with hope and love and joy, peace that surpasses all understanding. Their faith will be shaken, and they will have many doubts. They will remain stuck. For millions of people, fear and hopelessness is a very real giant in our lives. Whether it stems from a real danger or simply a crippling emotional bondage, our fears can destroy our peace and our joy. And they can hold us captive, and we feel tortured by that. How can we gain the courage and strength to overcome our giants, our seemingly insurmountable problems? One of the ways that we can do this is by realizing that God is for His people and that He will never leave His children. God will shield you with His wings. He will shelter us with His feathers. His faithful promises are our armor and our protection. We have nothing to be afraid of. Not the terrors of the night, nor the fears of danger during the day, nor the plague that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though thousands may fall around you, these evils will not touch you. If you are believing and trusting in God, you will see the devastation with your own eyes. You will see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come upon your dwelling. For God orders His angels protect you wherever you go. They will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on a stone. In Psalms 91:4-12 and then 14-16, the Lord says, "I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in me. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will satisfy them with a long life and give them my salvation." Now I want you to picture yourself in a long stretch of dry desert, a place where all you can see around you from horizon to horizon is just nothing but sand and scorching heat. Picture yourself for days and weeks in this parched desert, just wandering around, trying to survive in any way possible. You've been wandering around out there for so long that you start to lose hope and that you'll even make it out of this desert alive. And then you see something in the distance. And you think it's probably a mirage because you're so hot and you're so thirsty and you've been out there and you've been wandering around for so long. But as you get closer, it's true. There really is someone standing there. And in front of them is a huge bucket of ice water. as cold and as clear as you have ever seen in your life. And the person with the water offers you a ladle and says, help yourself to as much as you want. Fill up. What would you think? You would probably think that you had died and already gone to heaven. God is that comforting, soothing bucket of ice water in a world gone crazy. And all you have to do is reach out and accept His help. Drink from that living water of life. And now I'm going to go ahead and go to a quick break, and I'll be right back. Hold on one second, folks. Okay, here we go. The song I'm going to play for you is Overcomer.
Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die.
So speak life.
It's twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die.
So speak life, speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life, speak life when the sun will shine and you don't know why.
Like fire, hope will fall like rain. When you speak life with the words you say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Feels perfect.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining me here today here on The Hope Show. And it's such a pleasure, a privilege, and an honor to be in your homes or wherever you are right now. And I'm so glad that we can come together each Saturday and study the Word of God together. I'm so happy that we can come together to be an encouragement to one another and to let our light shine all over the world. I'm happy that God's Hope Show can do that, can give hope to all of you around the world. Isn't it amazing to be here today? How many of you are excited to be here today? Amen. Praise God for His wonderful technology that allows us to be together today, worshiping and sharing truth. How many of you know the words to the last song I played? A couple times ago anyway, The Voice of Truth. How many of you have really thought about the words, what they're saying, the implications of the song, and what it all means for you and I? The song talks about what it would be like if we had the faith to climb out of the boat of our circumstances, to step outside of our comfort zone, to step out into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is, and to take the hand that Jesus is holding out to us, trying to rescue us. It talks about the voices inside our head that laugh at us, remind us of all the times that we've tried and failed, the voices that keep telling us that we will never win, the voices that keep holding us in chains of bondage, holding us back from moving on. But on the other hand, we can also hear a voice of truth that tells us a different story. One of hope. And this voice tells us, do not be afraid. Out of all the voices calling your name, which will you choose to listen to and believe? What would it be like to have the strength to stand before our giants with just a sling and a stone? I'm sure that each of us have heard that inner voice when we try to stand up to overcome our giants, that laughs at us and reminds us of all the times we failed, and what would like us to think and believe that we can never win. Folks, now more than ever, it is time for us to listen to the voice of truth, to not be afraid, to believe and hope that we have the perfect size stone to put that giant of our life down. We were created for good things. We are meant to be overcomers in Christ. We are made in God's image. When you think of God, do you see God as a cowering, frightful, disheartened God? Of course not. Because God is almighty and powerful. But did you hear me say it? We are made in God's image. Therefore, we have reason to rejoice, reason to hope and have faith, a reason to stand up to our giants with great strength, knowing that God has our back. When God has our back and we believe it with all of our heart, when we are standing on top of the waves, then the waves don't seem so high. When we stop to listen to the sound of Jesus singing over us, we should feel like we could soar on eagle's wings. And then, listening to the voice of truth, there is no reason to be afraid. Just when we think we might get devoured by Satan and his troops, call out to Jesus. And in a blink of an eye, where once we thought we were completely alone, we will hear a great rushing sound behind us. A great rushing sound behind us. Can you hear it? Look behind you. There you will find God and His mighty angel of armies, swooping in as our backup. God says, "Do not be afraid. Step aside. I've got this." He will fight our battles for us if we step aside and let Him. Believe, hope, and trust in Him. Can you visualize the picture that I painted for you just now? Wow! Can you really picture the Lord God Almighty coming, rushing to our rescue? This reminds me of a wonderful dog from my childhood. My folks had several German Shepherds when I was growing up, but only one stands out in my mind to this day. We had a dog named Max, and oh, how I loved this dog so much, and how he loved me in return. We were like two peas in a pod. And I must not have been more than like 8 or 9 years old. He was always such a huge help for my pup folks on the farm, helping with the livestock and all kinds of different things. But when he wasn't working with my folks, he was by my side, this great big huge lumbering German Shepherd. Beautiful dog he was. He was my constant companion. At that young of an age, he seemed so huge and powerful alongside me. Yet this wonderful soul was as gentle as a pussycat. But do not be led astray. This wonderful soul could also, he knew when to take care of business, and he knew exactly how to do it in a way that demanded respect, if you know what I mean. You know, I saw him chase police officers back into their car. I saw him chase people that were just advertising and things and whatnot. I saw him chase them right back to the car from the front door. I saw him even chase my cousins up on top of a truck, the cab of a truck, which was kind of my fault because, you know, I sicked him on them. But anyway, this dog could be so gentle, so loving, at least with me. And yet he knew when to get business done, and he demanded respect. I saw him in action many times. But no matter what, he had claimed, literally staked his place over me as guardian and companion and friend. And everyone in my family, my brothers, my cousins, my parents, knew that he was loyal to all of us. But when it came to me, that was an entirely, altogether different thing. This dog would not let anything harmful, or anything that even looked remotely harmful, though in reality it may have even been something in play, he would not let harm come to me. I, of course, being the little stinker that I was, I often ran away with that knowledge. And I would sic him on my brothers or cousins just to see them run. And that's how I saw my cousin end up on the cab of his truck. But all I had to do was let out a little squeal from my lips. As if he came out from nowhere, he was instantly by my side. I had a good many years and memories made with Max, and later on he was killed. But I will never, ever, ever, as long as I live, forget that one dog. And not in any way do I compare God to a loving, devoted dog, but my point is this. God is the very same way with his children. You may not even realize God is around. You may think you're completely alone, but you utter one noise of distress, and God shows up in a mighty and powerful flash. We are never alone in anything that we do. But I want to get back to talking about our giants a little bit more. We all face our own personal giants at one point in time or another in our lives. But these giants, and what I'm speaking of, is the circumstances, the problems, the issues in our lives that seem insurmountable. Sometimes we try to fell these giants, but instead of regressing, they seem to grow stronger and stronger in intensity. This could be anything. It could be a giant of fear. It might be a giant of some type of personal sin that you fall into again and again. It might be the sin of pride or envy or gluttony or lust or any number of other things. Also, in another related way, your giant may be an addiction, a financial crisis, a loss of a loved one through death or breakup, loss of a job. Essentially, it could be anything that has a grip on your life in a negative way. It could be a taunting giant. Perhaps you've lost credibility or reputation. Perhaps something in your life has been threatened. Someone has slandered your name. Perhaps there's a lawsuit that's been filed against you. Maybe there's even a threat over your very life. It could also be other things, like an unbelieving spouse or trying to live up to the expectation of what others want for your life, such as your parents. Time passes and you begin to wonder how you will ever overcome these things. So what can we do to overcome these obstacles? These seemingly insurmountable giants in our life. One of the first things that you must do is realize that we all are faced with our own giants. Not one single person out there is exempt from adversity. We all face hardships and temptations in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible tells us the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. While it is true that we all have giants, it is also true that every giant can be defeated. Think about it for a moment. When your problems first started, it probably wasn't that big of a deal at the time. And there's no reason that it has to be that big of a deal now. Second, realize that the battle belongs to the Lord. In 1 Samuel 17:47, the Bible refers to, "This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." Did you know that this is why our giants, our feelings of despair and hopelessness, defeat us again and again? because we're always trying to face them with our own strength. And we set ourselves up to lose. And we do lose. It's the Lord's battle, folks. Leave it in His capable hands to deal with. As much as we humans would like to think that we have so much control over our lives, we don't. When we think like that, all puffed up with our pride, we're being foolish. And boy, are we going to be in for a big eye-opening surprise when we realize that we ain't all that. Thirdly, we need to attack our giants with truth of the word. Don't back down. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't let doubt interfere or think you will just fail, so why bother trying? That mentality will get you nowhere but more of the same. This is why we don't run from our giants. We don't negotiate with them. We don't attack them. But with the word of truth, we need to attack them. We need to attack our giants. I mean, think about David and Goliath in the Bible. With the word of truth, dressed in our armor of God, ready to attack with the victory of the God Almighty, betting 1,000, folks. As your enemy draws closer, keep focused not on how big the problem is, but run right straight for it, resting on all of God's promises and provisions. Whatever your problem is, force it out into the light of day. Stop rationalizing with it. Stop excusing it. Stop running from it. Stop letting it have control over your life. Realize that you can't defeat it on your own strength. But first we must call upon God and pray over the problem and then attack it, fully suited up. Draw lines and be accountable to someone that you trust without a shadow of a doubt. Stay away from people or situations that might tempt you, therefore causing you to stumble back into your old ways. When you feel trapped and in despair, feel like all hope is gone, don't look at God in the light of your giant, but instead look at your giant in the light of God. That is so good. I want to say that one more time if you didn't catch it the first time. Don't look at God in the light of your giant, but instead look at your giant in the light of God and know that you are an overcomer. And with God, nothing, nothing is impossible. I'm going to go ahead and go to a break at this time, and don't go anywhere unless, of course, you just need to stretch yourself. But come right back after this one song, Come Living Water. And after this one song is played, Shaziz will be joining me. And so here we go.
I can feel your heart as I'm lying here alone in the dark. I hear your voice gently say, come to me.
I long for your love like the earth longs for the rain.
Come.
welcome back to the Hope Show, everyone. Now joining us is my husband, Shaziz, and I want to thank you, Shaziz, for coming on here with me today and sharing your thoughts with all of us. I know you've been listening in to today's message in the other room, and I know you must have a lot to say about keeping the faith and the hope alive, and so I'd like to ask you at this time, what would you like to tell all of your all the listeners out there today?
It's too much to tell. Too much to think about. My show earlier was pretty much an apocalyptic view on what we got going on in the world. But, you know, according to my faith, we're not supposed to worry about worldly things. My only concern goes with those folks out there who are lost in society. You know, mankind has become so arrogant that they do so many different things that destroys our environment and essentially destroys their relationship with God, that it's just mind-boggling. And so, you know, with that said, that, you know, they get to the point where they literally believe themselves to be God. They have fooled themselves into becoming, thinking that, you know, they're going to be raised up to a higher consciousness and literally be God. Well, for their sake, I hope they're right. But for humanity's sake, you're way off track. If you were God, you should be able to solve these problems that we've got going on around the world. You know, you're just a human, just like everybody else. And with that said, hope plays a huge part in making this world and the people be able to move forward. Without hope, there ain't nothing. Without God, in my view, there isn't nothing. And all this arrogance that mankind has displayed since, you know, day one, thinking that they were God or were going to be God, whatever. They played God with the food. They played God with the weather. They played God with the planet. And basically just made a mess. And gods don't make mess. You know? This when God created this world, it was beautiful. I would have loved to have seen it on the very first day.
You know, a long time ago, and I continue to say this quite often, you know, God didn't make no junk.
No, he never made trash. That's the one thing. Our Creator didn't make no trash. You know, we made a mess. We as humans allowed others to destroy our environments, and we actually did it ourselves because we didn't pay attention. We weren't good caretakers. Now we're to a point in history where we have a huge mess to clean up with. And if you're a non-believer and you ain't got no hope whatsoever and it's all going downhill, you just got to factor one thing in. We're all in the same boat. When this boat sinks, when the environment crashes, cracks up, and you ain't got no God or you ain't got no hope or faith or whatever, and you got nothing. You got nothing but a toxic world that man has literally gone as far away from creation as possible in their attempts to become immortal, in their attempts to become God, you know, in their attempts to become wealthy. The greed and stupidity that mankind has shown one another throughout this entire story that we call life is just sickening. You know, I believe in God, and I believe that the story has a good ending when God returns. And so there's where my hope lies. And if you don't have that, I feel bad for you. And my concern isn't with the world in general. My concern is for those who are left behind, so to speak, or, you know, it's just, I love people with all my heart, you know. And that's what my God told me to do. I love people with everything I got. And so with that said, you know, I want those folks to be good too. I want those folks to be all right as well as myself. And I believe myself I'll be all right and my wife, I believe she'll be all right, and I believe a lot of folks in this world will be all right. But for those who had fooled themselves into believing or been deceived into believing that they literally were God, and they turned around and did the things that they did to the world and the people, I feel bad for those folks. I really do. And there's no way of changing their minds. They're going to continue to do what they do. It's going to take all of us together to become good caretakers until either our God shows up or we realize what's going on in this world. We got a mess to clean up, and it starts in your own neighborhood, in your own homes. You know, that's the best advice that I can give the world. If you don't believe in God and you don't have no hope in this world, you're on a downhill spiral, and it don't look pretty. If you don't believe in God, you don't have no hope, but you got concern in your heart for your fellow man, then I would suggest that you get involved and try to help someone in some way. Standing around arguing over who's right and who's wrong never got the house cleaned. And so, you know, with that said, we got our work cut out for us, literally.
You know, I would like to encourage people to even go out there and find something that they can volunteer with, you know, like every Friday I go and volunteer at a local thrift store, and I help out doing that because I'm retired from what I have been doing in my life, and so I still get out there and do that. But, you know, at the beginning when I first become retired, you know, I felt like I kind of lost my sense of purpose, you know. I mean, we're empty nesters now. All of our children are all grown, and some of them have their own children, and I wasn't doing the whole 9-to-5 anymore, and with just the two of us around the house, I mean, there's not a lot to clean up anymore and things like that, and I didn't have to punch that time card, and I didn't seem to have anywhere to be or anything to do specifically, and having done that my whole entire life, I just felt completely lost, you know. I felt like I just didn't know what to do with myself. And I did get a little depressed for a short time. There was about a couple of weeks there, and I got to the point where, you know, I couldn't even stand to be with myself, you know, because I was just feeling pretty low. And I finally realized that I could not sit around and feel this way. It wasn't healthy, and I needed to find a new purpose for my life. And so I got to thinking about it a little bit, and I volunteered at the Hope Store, and I found other activities to get involved in throughout the week, and this show was born, and so I found a new purpose. I found a new hope, you know. And I would encourage any of you, I mean, even if you're feeling down and out right now and all these things, and maybe you don't even feel like you have the strength to go out and do these things, I would still encourage you, just with whatever strength you have, to still go out there and volunteer to help someone else, because you just don't know what kind of a blessing that is. These other folks are blessed, and you are blessed. And it will pick you up. It will pick your spirits up. And it will show you that there is hope, and that you can actually be a part of giving hope to someone else less fortunate than you. And so I think it's very important that we all find something to volunteer our time with. You know, providing the amount of time that you have in a day to do so.
This world's only over. The story only stops being written when everybody lays down and just gives up. You know, there's a lot of evil in the world, and there's a lot of good people that are fighting against a lot of evil in the world. And as long as there are good people fighting against the powers of darkness, whatever they may be, governments, secret societies, or, you know, whatever, as long as there's people out there fighting a good fight, then there is hope. When you decide that the world is so terrible that you just lay down and give up, that's when it's over. That's when the story stops being written. And so, you know, with that said, you can make a difference in somebody's life some way, even if it seems to you to be only a small way, it could seem to them to be a huge difference. Something as simple as paying for somebody else's meal just out of the kindness of your heart, not for any want of return or anything, just to do it, just to better their life in any form or fashion. You know, those few extra dollars they might have spent on a meal or whatever could have been the few extra dollars maybe needed to pay a light bill or you know, something to keep them warm, a piece of clothing or something. And so, you know, that whole pay it forward thing, when people are doing things like that out of the kindness of their heart, and then more people are doing it because they think that it was a good thing, and they just reciprocate to the world that sharing their blessings. We've all been given many, many, many blessings and many resources beyond our wildest beliefs. We just sometimes, we step over the little miracles and ignore them as if they weren't there. We didn't recognize them because they weren't big enough. You know, something as simple as a smile, you don't look at that as a blessing. But I guarantee that there is somebody out there having a really bad day who does.
You know, and it goes back to my volunteer work on Fridays, you know, and this can be with anything. It doesn't have to be that. You know, I'm sure we've all had times when, you know, we feel down and out and things just aren't going right. But you can either choose to stay in that attitude, that negativity, that mindset, things like that. Or if, you know, if you're like me, I don't like camping out there very much, and it's just not a good feeling. And so I try to avoid at all costs allowing myself to have one of those days, because every day that you're alive is a choice of, you know, positivity or negativity. And so myself, I don't like going down that rabbit hole. And so for me, if I can force myself to get up, get dressed, get ready, put on my makeup, put on some decent clothes, whatever, if I can force myself to get out of the house or out of whatever circumstance I am in, and go force myself to be out amongst people and different things like that, you know, before long, you're going to find yourself being so blessed that you can't help but smile. That you just can't help yourself. Your mood, your spirit lifts, like I said earlier, you know, you bless those other people, but in turn, they're blessing you too. So, you know, if you're feeling like you're in darkness right now, and I would encourage you, even though you may not feel like it, get out of the house.
I'm thinking,
go do something.
If Rome is burning, it might be a good idea for you to grab a bucket, start throwing some water on the fire, start doing something, anything. Because once Rome's burnt, once our environment's gone, everything that we rely on to live, that's that. Story's over. We're through. But right now, it's not over. The fat lady ain't sung yet, so to speak. So, until, you know, like in my book of faith, it says no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. Until he gets here, then we ought to be doing the best we can with what we got to work with. I mean, you would do that in your family. You would do that in your own personal home. You would make the best out of a bad situation. If you didn't have no bread, but you had some flour, you might make yourself some biscuits or something for your family.
Never give up.
That's right.
Never, ever give up.
The moment we lay down, the story's over.
That's right. Well, it's time to start wrapping things up today. And is there any last-minute thoughts that you'd like to share with everyone before I conclude?
No, just peace and love, and everybody pay attention to what's going on out there.
Okay.
Don't let it overwhelm you.
That's right.
Let it empower you.
That's right. Exactly. Absolutely. I'd like to conclude today's show by reading you a little poem. Hope is not dead, It is just larger than our imagination, its purpose extending far beyond our comprehension. And courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is a little voice at the end of the day that says, "I'll try again tomorrow." Open those eyes. There is so much around you. And give God a chance to save you. Have hope. Be strong. Laugh loud. Live and play hard in the moment. Smile often and dream big. Remember, you are loved, and never, ever give up. Until next Saturday, same time, same place, may God bless you and have much favor over you this week. And I love each and every one of you, and I hope that you were blessed with this message today. And just praise God. Thank you, God, for just being with us today. And so I'm going to play us up out of here with a mighty and powerful old hymnal, "There is Power in the Blood." If I can get it to come up. There we go. Thank you for your patience, folks. God bless.